there. Welcome back. I'm Karen Hall, your host of the Hero Within podcast. I'm passionate about sharing inspiring true stories of unsung heroes who've overcome some of life's most challenging adversities. Come along with me and learn how you too can find hope and healing to return to love. In part two, Jacqueline Baer discusses the continuing story of the unexpected traumas on their journey as parents. If you haven't heard part one yet, you'll want to go back and hear the tender beginning of Jacqueline and her husband's love story, which included their desire for children, and how Jacqueline continues on with the trials and fertility issues that she and her husband had to overcome to have children.
So we knew we wanted more children. This is us our first. And at this point, we had seven more embryos that were frozen, but we knew my cervix was, of course, an issue. So we met with a specialty doctor that we were referred to who specializes in abdominal cerclages. So it's more invasive. It was a procedure I had to have done, like with a mini C-section incision. And basically they put a band at the top of your cervix. So it has to be surgically placed. It stays in. It doesn't come out. Like even with multiple pregnancies, it stays in. And the only caveat is that you have to have a C-section and they don't want you laboring with it in because it could, your uterus could rupture if it's like trying to contract with that on there. So it was supposed to be a planned C-section at 38 weeks. And so I was like, okay, I'm not going to waste any time. You know, Hunter came home in June and it was in November or December that I had that surgery done. And then when he turned one in March, we decided to do a frozen embryo transfer. We also were kind of in disbelief that it worked the first time. We're like, I think it was just a fluke. Like, for all we know, it could take a few tries for IVF to work or whatever. Well, no, it worked on the very first time and we were grateful. So I got pregnant and I was confident at this point because I had the cerclagen, you know, they said it's 99% effective. It can carry a twin pregnancy even. It can carry, you know, like your cervix will hold with this in. And it did. I had a great first trimester, a great second trimester until I think it was 23 weeks, which again, I was just in disbelief at this point because again, now my brain is like, okay, I just need to make it to 24 weeks to breathe a little. But now I know I watched my other son develop outside of the womb. And I know you are not in any kind of remote clearance until at least like 32 weeks because the lungs aren't even remotely developed. So at 23 weeks, so I did know viability was 24. So I had some spotting again. So I went into the hospital and they put me up on the belt. And at 23 weeks, you know, it was obvious that I was in preterm labor. I was having contractions and she didn't know why I wasn't feeling them, but I was contracting and showing contractions on the monitor. So I was admitted and they just kind of monitored me. And after doing some ultrasounds, they realized that I had polyhydramnios, which is excessive amniotic fluid, which right. Made sense because I was measuring further along than I was. And that was kind of what was causing the contractions and the preterm labor. So I was given a bunch of meds that I was not new to. I had to get magnesium. They gave me steroids to develop his lungs in case he was going to be born early. And long story short, after 2 weeks, I was pretty much in the clear, but I think that my doctors definitely played it on the cautious side with my history. And so I ended up being in the hospital on bed rest for a month. And wow. And it wasn't the same kind of bed rest as like I didn't have to lay flat and stay still. I was just, after the first couple of weeks, I was in my hospital room, you know, I was able to move around, shower and things like that. But the hardest part, honestly, was in my mind, I was like, I can do anything. I will stay here for months if it means that my baby will be here safely. So I was like, okay with it. But my poor husband was working. And then we had a 1.5-year-old at home and he's, you know, never taken care of him on his own. So, I mean, we're grateful to have, we have family nearby, but he was doing the day to day. He would have working, have our son coming up to visit me every day. And at the time, I did not realize the toll that it was taking on him. It wasn't until after the fact that he just kind of like released and was like, he was having a very hard time. And same thing, I don't think we truly processed everything. We just kept going. We're like, okay, we had Hunter. Now we've got our next son. And we just kept going. But that was a really hard time for him. And at the very beginning of my third trimester at 28 weeks, I was cleared to go home on like a modified bed rest. So I had a scheduled C-section at 37 weeks and all of that went very routinely. And when he was born and they pulled him out, I was just I thought he was huge. Like I, cause after seeing, you know, my 24 weeker, I just thought this baby was like ginormous, but he was just like an average size. He was 7 pounds or whatever. And it was just awesome. So the hospital experience with him being born was amazing. And I hold this memory so close to my heart now because it ends up being the only delivery experience I have with myself that I'm using quotes was like normal. So my husband went home. I was recovering in the hospital. And because it wasn't my first baby, everyone kind of assumed that I knew what was going on and what I should be doing. And I had no idea how to breastfeed. There were people coming in, but I felt like I didn't get as much assistance because they were like, oh, you've done this before. This is your second child. Like, I didn't even know there was a nursery at the hospital, or I didn't know what it was. So I remember the nurse coming in and asking, she's like, so after you feed him, do you want us to take him to the nursery? And I was like, no, like, why would you take my baby away from me? Coming from someone who was, didn't get to hold my baby for like so long, I was away from him for 4 months. I was like, absolutely not. Do not take him anywhere. I learned later that like, oh my goodness, should have had him go to the nursery. You know, here I am recovering from like a major surgery and just exhausted and by myself with this baby that just keeps crying because I don't know how to feed him. And such a stressful moment that was, and not what I had pictured. I was like, oh, full-term baby. Like we did the NICU, like this could be piece of cake. But what I was forgetting that was in the NICU, yeah, we had 4 months to ease into parenthood and also so much help. So then, you know, when we were discharged and brought my son home, that was a whole new experience. It felt like we were basically being parents for the first time just with two. Lots of learning. And again, going back to the grateful feeling, I was like, whoa, like this is not what I imagined, but like, I still can't believe this is our life. Like we have these two babies here with us. It's amazing. So yeah. And life was busy there for a little while. And so we were not rushing to have a third. We knew we always talked about four children. I'm one of four. My husband has two siblings. So we always thought four kids is what we wanted. And with these embryos, it felt possible. Okay. So we had two under two, and then the pandemic hit, and then we moved into a new house. So we had more space. And there was, I think my husband changed jobs like 3 times that year, like different companies. There was a lot going on. I had left my full-time job with all of Hunter's therapies and everything. I never imagined being a stay-at-home mom. My mom always worked full-time and she worked from home. So she juggled a lot, but she always worked. And I just thought that's what I wanted to do as well. But after a year of trying to work and be home with this preemie baby and do all the therapies, and it felt like we watched him in slow motion in the NICU. And then, you know, like all babies, the second they're home, time flies. And I was like, I can't miss anymore. So after a year, I decided to stay home full time with the kids. So we moved to the new house. I was home and we had started talking about a third. It was 2 years after we had Noah. And we're like, okay, maybe in the fall, you know, then the kids will be 2.5, 3 years apart. And that feels doable, whatever that means, you know. And so we were planning to do another frozen embryo transfer. Well, our plans were to do it more in the fall, like September, October, November, somewhere in there. And I ended up getting pregnant naturally that May. Oh. Yeah. A month after we were just talking about our plans for the fall. And it had been 8 years. I've never gotten pregnant on my own. I had been off of birth control for 8 months. I was never worried about being off birth control. Before I knew anything was wrong with my cervix, I was just like, oh my gosh, if I get pregnant, it'll be a miracle. So we're not doing birth control, right? And then once I had that cerclage put in, I wasn't really worried about it either because I was like, if I happen to somehow miraculously get pregnant on my own, we'll be fine. We'll be in good shape. So I did. And I was pregnant and I told my husband and he's like, for real pregnant? And I was like, yeah, like I don't even know what possessed me to take a test. I mean, my period was a couple of days late, but my body's always been kind of wonky anyway. And it said positive. And I think I took like 4 because I was like, this can't be right. Like it has been 8 years and nothing, like never even like an oops, I got pregnant, like nothing. And so we were very excited and everything with that pregnancy felt, and I say this every time, but it was always fine until it wasn't. It just came out of nowhere. This time it was a different issue. It wasn't my cervix because that stayed shut. This was a Saturday afternoon, like out of nowhere. I just started having like some back pain and I am like 21 weeks at this point and I felt fine. Otherwise I just thought, oh, I'm getting further along. I don't know. I'm running around constantly with my other two. You know, I'm just uncomfortable. I've got this back pain and everything. And then Sunday I'm like feeling more cramping in the front now. And I'm just like, oh, I'm like, something's not right. But I'm just so terrified to go into the hospital because every time I've done that, I haven't left. I've either been put on bed rest or something happens. And so it was like my body was paralyzed. I was like, no, this isn't, nope, I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm not going in. But then they started to get more intense. And then I started to get a little worried. So we put the kids to bed. My brother and sister-in-law came over to watch them. And so we went to the hospital. And within like 30 minutes of being in the hospital, there was a heartbeat at first. I didn't have bleeding until I got to the hospital. Then I started feeling contractions. And it was kind of just a waiting game. They were like, can we stop this? We have to see what's going on because I can't go into labor. It was very dangerous to my own health, and my uterus could rupture and all these things having that cerclage. And so the pain got really bad. And finally the doctor got in there and she's like, your contractions are like you're visibly in pain. You're bleeding a lot. Like, I'm so sorry, but we're going to have to talk about taking you back to the OR, which was a very out of body experience because I'm like thinking of my kids at home and I'm thinking of my health. But then to make the decision to have to go get a C-section, knowing that my baby will not survive it, to protect my own self from other kids, I felt like I was being torn in two different directions. And then right before they wheeled me back, she checked the monitor again and there was no heartbeat. And so she told me, she's like, I wasn't going to share this with you, but if you had any doubt in your mind whatsoever, like I have to share that, you know, there is no longer a heartbeat. There was just too much trauma going on internally. And so, you know, thankfully I was put under, just like put me to sleep. Like I can't even fathom being rolled back into the OR right now. So they had to deliver my daughter via C-section. And that was just, I don't know. My emotions were like so conflicting. I've never been so scared in my life for my own health. And the pain was so intense and I've never experienced labor. And so I was just like, I can't, like this has to stop. And then I was also just extremely devastated and numb to whatever was going on because I just couldn't fathom that this was happening. It was almost like I knew it was too good to be true. Like I knew, you know, I got pregnant on my own and we found out it was a girl and we were just like, oh my goodness, our family could be complete. Like everything's been so traumatic. This could be it. It was just utterly devastating. And, you know, we were able to spend a few days in the hospital and, you know, she was in a special cot so we can hold her. We had a couple days with her. A couple family members came in to see her and hold her. And I was just very numb at this point, but it took me by surprise. All the grief from my very first two miscarriages just hit me like a ton of bricks because I was a mom now. And it was almost like when I lost our first pregnancy, I didn't really know what I was missing. And now I know, like everything came flooding back of like the weight of these babies and these lives lost and what could have been. And now I see my own kids, you know, at 3, 4. And it's just, you know, it's the loss of not only a baby and a life, but it's like a loss of a dream that I've played out in my head over and over. So that was just absolutely, absolutely terrible. And to this time, I've never had to grieve a loss that my kids knew about. Cause we had these teddy bears made for our twins just as like a remembrance thing. And the year or two after, before we had kids, you know, we'd have them in the background of some photos, you know, for Christmas and things like that with our dog and everything. So as they got older, you know, like Hunter knew the stuffed animals as those are your sissy bears. We just called them. Cause I didn't know how to explain it at first. And then it got confusing when he went to preschool. Cause he started telling people he had sissy bears. And I was like, oh, we need to have a little bit more of a conversation about this, like age appropriate, of course, for like a 3-year-old. But yeah, so then it opened up the conversation of actually our faith and heaven and angels and things like that. And so it actually was a pretty beautiful experience to open up these conversations early on with our kids. And this time it was just a little harder because they saw, you know, my belly grow and we told them they were going to be big brothers and all these things. Because in my mind, I just had no idea that at 21 weeks, with my cerclage and just hitting all those milestones, I just had no idea that anything would remotely go wrong again.
Yeah, especially after carrying your second baby, Noah, to full term.
Yeah. And after having a full term baby successfully via C-section and everything, I just was like, okay, like I know I have to deliver via C-section again and that's fine. That's what we have to do. And I'm not worried. So it just really all hit me all at once. And that was September 2021, which ironically enough, September is a really hard month for us because it was September 5th, 18th, and 26th that each of our daughters were born. And our anniversary is September 7th. So September is just a very emotional month in our house. But as the years have gone on and we've managed our grief a little more and we talk about it with our kids and our family and everything, I will say it's become more of a remembrance thing. And with the kids, we've done things like releasing balloons into the air on those dates or one day in September, just to acknowledge everything and talk about it with them. But of course, after that, now I'm stumped because I don't know what's wrong with my body. And now I'm worried because I don't ever want to put myself in that position where my health is at risk because I am a mom and I couldn't imagine, you know, obviously anything happening to me.
You know, I've heard some women feel like their body has betrayed them. They go through all these emotions of betrayal. Did you experience that?
100%. Yes. I think I'm still in the beginning phases, I feel like, of learning to love my body again, because for the last almost 7 years-ish, I've been very angry with my body. I feel like I have been failed time and time again, over and over again. Right. And so, yeah, over the years, you know, with different things, I go in waves of like, okay, I'm going to take care of my body and I'm going to eat healthy and work out. And then other times where I'm like, end of the day, and I'm like, pour me wine because I don't even care. And I've learned now that I'm very upset with my body and I feel like it failed me. And so following this loss, I did meet with the high-risk doctor again, and we've gotten really close to him over the years and trust his judgment. And he knows our family very well and our goals and just everything. And he's like, I saw you on my schedule today. And he's like, and I feel like you're here for one of two reasons. He said, you're here because you want to talk about having another baby, or you're here because you want permission to know that it's okay to just stop and close this chapter. And I didn't think about it at the time, but I was like, no, I think I'm here to talk about another baby, but I just want to learn how to do this safely, or if it's even a possibility. And he straight up told me, you know, there are so many different issues that have happened over the pregnancies. We don't really know what we would do differently going forward. In hindsight now, after the way I just abruptly started bleeding with my last daughter and everything, and how things just happened so quickly, it was determined that we lost our last daughter due to placental abruption. And in hindsight, along with my cervix, that could have been the case with the twins as well, because of how everything happened so quickly. There was no warning signs. There was no labor. And so that was kind of a mystery. I didn't really fit any of the criteria or have any like history as to why I might have placental abruption, but they just couldn't guarantee that that wouldn't happen again. And due to the fact that I have the cerclage, there's just so many risk factors. And so he was like, I'm going to be honest with you. At the end of the day, you can do whatever you want. He's like, but I am not comfortable with you carrying another pregnancy. He said, you have a family and it is very risky to your health. And I just don't know what we would do differently. And when he told me that, I had, oddly enough, my first reaction was actually like, huh, like I felt like this weight off of my shoulders, which was confusing because I knew I wanted more children and we had these six embryos still. And I wanted a big family, but I was so relieved to hear that, like just to stop for someone to tell me like, no, not with your body. And when I was on bed rest, actually with Noah for that month in the hospital, I started looking into surrogacy. And this was before, you know, my daughter, before I knew I could get pregnant on my own, before anything of the sort. I just was kind of down in the dumps that month in the hospital and just thinking about my husband a lot. And I was like, I can't do this to him again. Like, even if this turns out well, like I don't trust my body. And I was mad at my body. And I was like, I wonder what that would look like if I had somebody else carry the pregnancy, because it doesn't change my urge for wanting to be a mom and having this big family, but I've never had a good experience with pregnancy. So like, it was one of those things, like, I am happy to give this up. You know, a lot of people who go through surrogacy are worried about their bond with their child and things like that. But I think after having a preemie and being away from him for so long, and now he's five, and I don't feel any less attached to him than I do with my other son who was born full term and put on me right away. I feel the same connection with him. So that wasn't a worry for me. But then I looked into it and I realized just how expensive it is. And so I kind of put that thought on the back burner. I was just like, well, it sounds good, but only celebrities do that. That's not for us. I'm never going to be able to do that. Well, once my doctor, you know, told me that, yeah, it's not safe for you to carry a pregnancy, I just processed that. And I was just, okay, I was like trying to decide, Are we happy with our family? Like, what does this look like? And I'm sure from the outside, people think it's like crazy. They're like, why would you keep trying? Like, after all this trauma and like you have two beautiful children, like why? And I don't know actually what exactly it is. It's just something I really truly felt that I want more children. And I think the fact that we went through IVF and had these embryos, like that was another thing. We worked really hard to pay for that. I worked really hard to do that whole process and the medications, and we have our sons from it, that I just felt weird not pursuing it further. So yeah, we started looking into surrogacy, and you know, at first we had no idea how we were going to pay for it, but I was like, we'll figure that out. Like, figure that out. I think I gave my husband a heart attack, but he was like, okay. And of course he's, you know, at this point, he's the breadwinner of the family. I'm home with the kids still, and he's crunching numbers. He's a sales guy. So he's just like, how can I make this kind of money or even like figure this out? And that was really stressful. That was last year. All of 22 was like, how are we going to do this? And so we finally decided that, you know what, this is for us. This is what life is all about. It's about our family. This has been, from the day we met, this has been our number one goal together and what brings us joy. And, you know, we've gone this far, so let's just see how this pans out. So we weighed the pros and cons of doing an independent journey and working with an agency. And we thought we wanted to do an independent journey to save money, but with two kids at home and him working full time and just everything, we're like, we need someone to manage this for us. So signed with an agency. And then the first step was to have our embryos finally genetically tested. Our embryos were labeled grade AA initially, which is, I guess, the best you can do. So structurally, they were good embryos. But long story short, out of those five, we ended up only having two that were normal and viable for a transfer. So that was eye-opening too. It was like, wow, we thought we'd have all these embryos that we don't know what to do with. And now we have two, but they're healthy. We're grateful. So we have two that we're working with. And the surrogacy process is very long. So by the time we signed with the agency last May of 2022, and we just got matched with our surrogate last month. We met her in person for the first time, and now we're just waiting. It takes about a month for all the legal and paperwork to all pan out. And then she will be given a medication schedule, and then we'll schedule the transfer date. So it's very weird because I felt like we waited and waited, and it's been like over a year, and all of a sudden, like, oh, we're making moves to like have a baby. Like, it doesn't feel real, obviously, because it's not my body. It's just like so wild to me. But, you know, genetically, it is our child, and she is going to safely carry hopefully a baby into our lives again. So, you know, we've decided we have these two embryos. I'm 35. We have two children. I'm not going to go through IVF again. We're just going to pray that one of these embryos work, or at least one works, and we have another child. But it's hard to explain to somebody else, but I know you understand that. Cause I couldn't think of the words, but like, I just know that, yeah, I had that feeling inside of me.
Did your husband have that same confirmation?
Yeah. So I think it kind of changed for him as we kind of learned to process our grief and as time went on and we had a different solution. So I think before we started talking about surrogacy, he was like, absolutely not. I mean, cause he was scared about losing me, of course. And so he was like, I am happy with you. Like, we're done. Like, I'm not doing this again. No. And I'm kind of like the problem solver between the two of us. And so I did all the research. I felt like I was like giving a presentation to him. I was like, no, but we can safely do this. And this is how.
And you said, here, look at my PowerPoint.
You look at my PowerPoint. I left, of course, the cost at the very end.
Smart woman.
Yeah. And then I ended up, so I told him that and he was on board. He was like, I do. I want to experience a daughter. And, you know, we did find out that the two embryos that are healthy are both female. So that was another driving factor. I mean, we wanted a third. We came to the agreement. We wanted a third because I needed us to be on the same page for sure. I was like, I'm not going to test these embryos. I don't want to know more information about them if you don't want to move forward, regardless if it's boys or girls. Like, it's just about a third child. And we were on the same page. But yeah, he definitely went through the emotions. At first, he was scared for my health and what another pregnancy could look like. Then he was worried about money, which one of us has to be worried about that. He takes that job very well. And I presented him a whole other presentation later on of how we could finance this. And then he admitted that it just feels like we've always talked about a bigger family. Like, I still want this. He's like, I'm terrified because what kind of stress it's going to put on in a different way this time, not health-wise, but financially, he said, but you know, I'm in if you're in. And at this point, now that we've figured a lot of things out in the past year and you know, we're at a really good place in our family too. We've both had to work through our grief and everything has happened. I have kind of processed the fact like I am not going to be pregnant again because I wasn't ready to hear that either. And it bothered me at first a little bit. You know, it's not something you want someone to tell. I wanted to make that decision myself. I hated that it was kind of like put on me, but I started the podcast, which is kind of was like my new baby over the last year. I was like, okay, this is the new thing that we're doing. And yeah, now we're just both very excited of what the future hopefully will hold for our family.
You know, it really touched me when I heard about you and your husband and how you are so unified, because so many times these issues can cause conflict, and especially when you both have to spend so much money.
Yeah. A friend of mine was checking in on me after our first miscarriage, and she was like, you know, so-and-so is a social worker, and she told me that these things, they either can bring a couple together or more times than not, they pull people apart. And she's like, how are you and Josh doing? And I was like, we definitely had our moments, you know, learning how each other grieves and just learning to respect that we process things differently. But at the end of the day, everything we've been through, I really think has just even like strengthened our marriage, because like at this point, I can't even imagine, you know, we have changed so much based off of everything that has happened and how we've grown our family and everything that I can't imagine. We both feel this way. I can't imagine like doing it with anybody else. We have really like grown together in these experiences. And I mean, we're not like the perfect marriage by any means. You know, we all have our things. But yeah, I think at our very core, we've always wanted the same thing. And we have to remind ourselves often, you know, what's most important to us, because life gets busy and priorities get all sorts of mixed up in different seasons of life. But yeah, family is always at the core for us. So it's what's kept us together and unified in every decision along the way.
And when you said that's what life is all about is family, gosh, it's so beautiful. It's so inspiring to hear you go through so much hardship and heartache and come out stronger and even more unified afterwards. It's beautiful. Well, tell us about your podcast, Motherhood Intended.
Yeah, so my podcast is called Motherhood Intended. And at the time when I was thinking about starting a podcast, I was just like, how could I even add one more thing to my schedule? Like, I am busy with these boys. We're going to be doing this surrogacy thing. I'm trying to figure all of that out. But I just really had this like internal need to share our story. And we had shared bits and pieces, like with, you know, obviously like friends, family, people in our circles and outer circles, even social media knew about our losses and knew about IVF, but didn't know details, didn't know the after effect that had on us as individuals and as a couple and our families. So I just felt this really strong urge to like share our story, and hopefully it would help others, because I didn't want to ever have to post on social media that I miscarried a baby and then 2 weeks later had to share that I miscarried another baby. It just kind of happened that way because I was just blissfully ignorant. And I was told, you know, 12 weeks, at 12 weeks, everyone shares their news. And so I posted on social media, we were expecting twins, and it just came crashing down. And I couldn't go on without telling people what had happened. So unexpectedly, it actually kind of, it was terrifying and stressful, like to be so vulnerable like that on social media platforms, but it ended up opening so many doors and connecting me with so many people. I mean, people in my life that I had no idea that were like, oh, I had a miscarriage as well. And I've had this. And obviously no one had the exact same story, but I had no idea that miscarriages were so common and that there were people in my immediate life that had struggled and gone through this too. And it just wasn't being talked about. And after all of my experiences, you know, I was like, it is just crazy to me that the second I mentioned something like, oh yeah, you know, my son was born with club feet or whatever, three people would come out of the woodwork and be like, oh my gosh, I know so-and-so who had club feet. And, you know, I'm meeting all these other women. I got really close with some other moms in the NICU during our time there and, you know, their kids and their different milestones. And it was just eye-opening to me that the second you start talking about things, this community just shows up. And I was like, I need to do this and amplify it. So that's why I started Motherhood Intended podcast. You know, I go on and I've shared my story on there. I hope to continue to update as our next steps unfold with surrogacy. And then, yeah, every week on the podcast, I interview other women about their own motherhood experiences. And the whole idea is, well, everyone has a unique journey to motherhood, and in motherhood, different experiences, there's so much that we can come together on and not feel alone in these experiences. And I think social media can be twofold. You know, it can be overwhelming and it can always make you feel like you're inadequate as a mom because you're always comparing yourself to other people. But if it's used right, I think it can also just be like a really beautiful way to create community and be honest about what motherhood is. You know, we don't have to post all these beautiful, motherhood's not easy all the time, right? And that was very apparent to me too, that once I started getting these messages of people who are like, oh, I actually went through IVF to have my kids too, or I did this. And I look at their Instagram, I was like, I had no idea that all these perfect pictures that you had so much heartache and struggle as well. So the podcast has been a great space to kind of open up and talk about these different conversations and create a community. And it's been fun.
I'm so touched by hearing your story. I felt bonded with you when we talked about motherhood. That's one of my favorite topics. I know you're going to bless so many women by sharing your journey. And so thank you for what you're doing. It's a wonderful gift you are giving to people.
Well, thank you for giving me another opportunity to share this story. I swear every time I tell it, it feels like even a little more healing for me. So it's nice to just get it out.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest and for blessing me.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I was so touched when I heard how Jacqueline and her husband evaluated the challenges of having more children, and they finally decided they did want more children. She said they both felt, this is what life is all about. It's about our family. From the day we met, this has been our number one goal together, and this is what brings us joy. Well, she brought me joy as I heard of her and her husband's incredible sacrifices and dedication to welcome more children into their home. Thanks for listening. I know you're busy. Did you know that you help spread the love by leaving a review and following? This helps increase our visibility so people can find us online. I really appreciate your help. I'm wishing you lots of love in your own hero's journey.